The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
With so many people living longer, the fear of outliving your money becomes a reality for many of us. Will I be a financial burden? Will I outlive my money? How will I be remembered? My name is Neil Himmelstein, president of Main Street Planning Group. Please contact me by visiting mainstreetplanninggroup.com. That's mainstreetplanninggroup.com, or call 631-647-4694. I will introduce you to strategies that will guarantee you will not outlive your money, that can guarantee you will not be a burden on your loved ones. Through a collaborative approach, we will uncover solutions that offer tax-efficient strategies, lifetime income, and legacy planning. Choice, organization, direction, and education. That is the code we stand behind. Contact mainstreetplanninggroup.com. That's mainstreetplanninggroup.com, or call 631-647-4694. And listen to me every Friday at 3 p.m. as I host the Main Street Code for Financial Success right here on 103.9 LI News Radio. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Main Street Code for Financial Success. I'm your host, Neil Himmelstein. I can be reached at 631-647-4694, or you can always look me up on the web at themainstreetcode.com. We talk about code. We talk about choice, organization, direction, and education, and that's what we work with. We work with hundreds of attorneys across the United States and accountants and other financial advisors, giving them insurance solutions, whether it be long-term care, disability, or life insurance. And that's where we specialize, and that's where we can help you and your clients have a good part of your portfolio. And part of what we do is we help quarterback your financial plan. So if you're working with an attorney, you're working with an accountant, you're working with an investment guy, I'm the insurance piece of the puzzle. And if you don't have a team that's all working together, we'll help you put one together. And that's what we do. And today I have a very special guest, Mr. Robert Mehron. And he is a litigator. And Robert, tell us about yourself.
Neil, thank you for having me. Hello, everybody. My name is Rob Mehron. I am the principal and founder of Mehron Law, PLLC. We have offices in Mineola. We are business attorneys and civil litigators. So what that means is if you're a small business owner, if you want to start a small business, you should seek out the attorney to set you up. So what I tell clients is you may want to build a 100-story building, but if you don't get the foundation correct at the third or fourth floor, your building is going to crumble. So you may have the best business plan and the best widget on the market, but the planning in the legal sense is your foundation. And so what we do is we'll form your legal documents, whether it's a corporation or an LLC. We'll go through an analysis because it's not one size fits all. Like if you go to one of those websites and just download a document, we'll go through, we'll sit down, we'll do an analysis. We'll get your thought process, where you want to be, your projections, and we'll tailor the company or corporation, LLC or corporation that would best fit you. There's a lot of factors that go into that. I won't bore you with those details, but there are a lot of questions that need to be answered before you just say, I want to be a corporation, I want to be an S-Corp. It's much more involved than I just want to be an S-Corp, because you can still be an LLC and taxed as an S-Corp. So we really need to have that discussion. And then we'll do your paperwork, your operating agreement, your shareholders agreement. We'll get you ready for what happens when conflict arises, when everybody's on the same page, so that we lay everything out. We work with you for key man insurance. You know, Neil, we'll look for you for so that you're not partners with your partner's partner in the event something happens. We'll do your vendor agreements for your widgets that you're going to sell, your lease for your premises, if that's if you're a storefront.
It's so important that you prepare properly, you know, and I've seen so many situations where businesses fail to plan and they don't have the right advisors around them. And to have the advice of your law firm and to have your advice as to how to set things up is, like you said, the very foundation of setting things up.
Well, and the flip side to that, the problem in not doing that is the other side of my firm is the civil litigation side. We do the litigation side. We spend most of our cases, our litigation, we're predominantly a litigation firm, because the agreements, your widgets agreement, there'll be a breach of contract, or you didn't plan properly and now you have to have a what we'll refer to as a business divorce. And because we had this conflict come up and I thought we were going to go left and you thought we were going to go right, and now we can't bridge that gap.
Right.
And now we have to go out of business. A very public business divorce just concluded was Arizona Iced Tea, which most people didn't realize was a Long Island company. And that was just before Judge Driscoll. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And they had, you know, the one partner wanted out and he said, we're worth $2 billion, according, and the other partner said, no, we're worth $500 million, and I'll only pay $500 million, and you know, and I'll pay you half of $500 million. He wanted half of $2 billion. They settled the half of
I remember when Arizona Tea came out, and it was unique because they kind of followed the Snapple pattern of distribution. I was actually in the business back then, in the food business, but very interesting, and I met... what's his last name? Voltage? Began with a V. I forgot his name.
I'm not sure.
Anyhow,
They're not my client.
No, I know. They got very big. They got very big very quick, but, you know, and they went directly to the delis, and they came out with a can that was bigger than everybody else.
For a dollar.
For a dollar. Right. For 99 cents or a dollar.
99 cents, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it really was quite a hit, and they did a fantastic job of getting their product out and getting tremendous distribution, tremendous sales.
So see, now that's an interesting... History. So I read somewhere recently that they intend to always keep that big can at 99 cents despite the cost. And you know that if you go into certain delis, or at least it's happened to me, you'll get ringed up for more than 99 cents on those large cans. They'll charge you $3, whatever. I mean, it's been a while. But I thought of, and this is the litigator in me, I wonder what their agreement with Arizona says, if they're supposed to be selling it for 99 cents, because that's part of the widget agreement in the business formation, right? So if you have that I was talking about, if you have this beautiful vision, right, and Arizona, part of its vision and its marketing seems to be that larger than everybody else's can is only 99 cents, and this deli and that deli is selling it for more, you're infringing on their marketing plan. You're hurting their brand.
We could get into that, but I think you talk about price controls and everything else. You're getting in a whole other area that I have no idea about.
That goes into the whole vendor agreements for your widgets for your company when you're doing your formation.
Yeah,
that's the point I was trying to make there, is that you have this marketing strategy. You have to make sure that you have legal safeguards. Or what I use every time I go bowling, the bumpers on right. the side, so that you know your product doesn't end up in the gutter.
Well, you know, let's go back to the beginning. Let's say you're just starting a business and you have a partner, and it's sort of going along, and this business agreement that you talk about is very important. It's yes, the formation, whether you're going to go S, LLC, C Corp, is very important from a tax, not only a tax standpoint, but for also a distribution standpoint. It has a lot of implications. I'm well aware of that. And that's why you need to seek out somebody like Robert. He is truly an expert in that area. And I think it's vital that you seek legal counsel and do it the right way. And then the second part of that is, okay, our business is doing well. And what I find with small businesses, they get some of them get very big very quickly, and they fail to plan. And let's say they have a partner and everything's going along great, and all of a sudden the business is worth a lot, but they don't take the time to stop and plan the details. Do that business partnership agreement. And that partnership agreement involves what we call like a buy sell or something else. It's that what if agreement. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So the what if agreement, you know, it's you see it everywhere in everyday life. It's right in case of emergency, break glass. That's, you know, and there's a fire extinguisher in that or fire alarm. That's sort of what that agreement does in terms of. It's when everybody's on the same page, everybody loves each other in formation, that, you know, we're all going to make millions of dollars and we have the best product in the world and the best marketing plan, and we're going to hit the market and running, and whatever your widget, you know, whatever your project is, we call it widgets, you know, it's a generic term. it's a fantasy product, and which gained fame and notoriety in Back to School, right? Rodney Dangerfield.
Right. Yes.
So you want to make sure that there are certain, to your point, they're successful. Now it's expansion. So are we bringing on another partner? And if we bring on another partner, are we diluting our ownership interest? Are we purchasing a building, another building? And if so, are we purchasing it with personal funds? Are we starting another company to do that? And then what happens if I want to buy a building and you don't? And right. How do we break that conflict? All of these scenarios are governed in the operating agreement or the shareholders agreement, the document that we're discussing, so that you have a roadmap and a blueprint to answer these questions. So now, obviously, right. You can't plan for everything and answer
but
every
question.
But here's
one of the things that people don't plan for. Now, and a good attorney like Robert is going to point out, what happens if one of you passes? You're an integral partner. What if the partner passes? Then there has to be a buy-sell agreement, and that's usually funded by insurance. And the reason that happens is because the big what-if is, if your partner deceases or becomes disabled, which is a huge, huge area that we talk about a lot, but if your partner becomes disabled and he's an integral part of this growing business or passes away, who is then your default partner?
Right. So I briefly mentioned that, and I mentioned a lot in the introduction, and used probably more legal jargon than necessary. But we call that key man insurance for the partners, because they're the key person in the firm, or key persons. And then, to your point, if you do not put in your operating agreement what happens to the partner? I'm sorry, I'm hearing music. Are we on a commercial?
No, we're getting ready to go to commercial.
Oh, okay.
And you're listening to the Main Street Code for Financial Success. And we'll be back just after a minute. Thank you. Welcome back to the Main Street Code for Financial Success. I'm here today with Robert Merron. Sorry if I pronounce your name wrong. I'm really not good with names. I apologize. But Robert is a litigator, and he works with a lot of small businesses. And if you were listening to us before the break, we were talking about putting a buy-sell agreement together. And some of the basics are in a buy-sell agreement are, and Robert, you'll fill in the dots, but what happens if something happens to my partner? So the default is, if you do nothing and you two are, let's say you and a partner, you and two partners, whatever it is, and you're doing great, but all of a sudden one passes away, the business ownership goes to that person's estate, which is typically their spouse. Now, that spouse could be a husband, it could be a wife, it could be somebody who's in the business, somebody who's not in the business. And therein lies a problem, and therein you need life insurance, which Robert was saying before the break. That life insurance is really the equalizer. I like to say life insurance isn't just about a death, it's an equalizer. And what it does, it's going to equalize the half the value of that business so the other partner can be bought out. So that wife potentially can be bought out so that they don't necessarily have to be that partner. So you buy an insurance policy that buys that person out. And it's a tax-free exchange. It's a very nice thing to do. And the other thing that great attorneys like Robert talk about, what happens if you become disabled? Now, what I find with many small businesses, most small businesses, the attorneys talk about it, and they talk about it, but they don't fund it. They don't really prepare for it. There are insurances specifically if the partner becomes disabled, that there will be money flowing in so that that person can live and the business isn't drained of its assets to keep continuing on. If you have two partners working, wouldn't you say, Robert, that they're both integral to the business and one becomes disabled, how's that business going to thrive and how's that other person going to keep feeding its family that's disabled or have the business run?
Correct. And it's funny, I was cut off, before the commercial. I felt like I was in court and the judge was interrupting me. We had to stop and listen to the judge.
Comes the judge.
That's it. So yes, to that point, that creates a unique problem in the business, for that individual, the disabled individual, for both the business and the individual himself, right? To your point, his family needs to continue to draw an income and be fed. And the business now has, not to sound cold, but just in straight business terms, a depreciating asset and a non-performing asset that it now has to pay as a performing equity asset. And that becomes cost prohibitive for the business because they're still generating the expense but not producing the revenue, right? Because they're still drawing salary, they're still drawing money. So that's where that key man disability insurance is so crucial. We can write it up in the operating agreement, and we do, right, these provisions, but you do have to fund it.
You have to fund it, and you have to fund it with an insurance policy. And for those of you who think, I don't need it, you look at any major baseball team, basketball team, why do the guys stay out? The teams aren't hurting for money because they take out huge insurance policies in case they get hurt. They have very specified insurance policies that says, you know what? You know, my star pitcher, Jacob DeGrom, was out for 9 months. Well, he's got a salary of, $20 million. I guess he's looking for 40 or 50 next year, as good as he pitches. But, how is the team able to pay his salary while he's disabled? They have a huge disability policy on him. And I remember when Alex Rodriguez was out for a year, they just said, stay out because we're collecting the money. And we really don't want to pay this $8 million for a non-producing asset right now. So disability is so huge and so important. It is the only product out there that pays for your income or pays your business to protect an income. There's nothing else. You protect your home, protect your cars. Who's protecting your income? That's your life. I mean, you have your religion, you have your faith, you have your business, you have your personal life, but who's out there protecting your income? There's only one product in the world that can do this: disability coverage. And if you don't have any, and a lot of people think they have it at work, but it's inadequate. If you don't have disability coverage, you're really leaving yourself a big hole of liability if things could happen.
Yeah, and to that point, you had mentioned if then the individual passes away, their ownership interest does go into their estate, and whether it's their spouse, significant other, some maybe their children that they designate if they have a will, they become an equity partner. They take over the deceased's equity interest in the business. That's why you need to have the key man life insurance,
right?
So that the business policy is triggered on death and buys out the ownership interest of the deceased partner,
right?
So that the other two partners or the other partner continues forward. We had a client come to us. They had it structured as they were operating the business as three equal partners. They only had one partner on the books because they wanted to be a minority owned business, and he was a minority. You don't need 100% ownership. We can drill down on that. That's a different topic. So he was sick and he had cancer, and they wanted to restructure their operating agreement. You can do that. You can amend your, for those of you that are listening that, oh my God, we didn't do this. We're in this now 10 years, 15 years. You can still do your operating agreement, your shareholder agreement. We can fix it now because listen to what happened. So he's got cancer. They want to fix it. I said, okay, we'll let's get on the same page. We started to fix it. And the day before we were going to sign, he died.
Oh, boy.
So his estate now owns 100% of the business. And these two partners are now in the process of buying the business from the estate.
Wow. Crazy. So, yeah, this kind of stuff happens. And not just, in business, it happens in personal life. Tell me about some of the cases you litigate, some of the things, some of the crazy stuff that happens and...
It's funny you say that because you get known for certain things, and I don't know why this happens, but we do very sophisticated litigation for hundreds of millions of dollars, and we do vanilla litigation, straight breach of contract. We do complex litigation. There's several legal issues, but you get known for, I get very strange cases, and all my colleagues my other attorneys or friends, when they hear something that they don't know what to do with, they say, give it to Rob. He'll
there
figure
you
it
go.
Out.
I like
and,
that.
And I appreciate it because I do enjoy the challenge, but I laugh because, you know, I'll take a ground ball the second every now and then. You know, just give me a couple easy ones. I don't mind the complex, but it's funny. So we had an interesting case. We had a lemon law case, and we don't practice in this area. It just was one of those, you know, weird situations. They bought a vehicle from Ford, and every time it rained, it was an SUV. The back flooded, and they took it back at least a dozen times, which certainly triggered the lemon law provision. But they kept going back, and it was so frustrating for everybody that the Northeast divisional manager that goes up and down the East Coast whenever there's a problem that nobody can figure out, followed by the country manager that whenever there's a problem comes by to try to figure it out, came down to look at this, and it got to the point where they didn't believe what then became my client. So we can litigate this, and the only one that wins in litigation is the attorneys. But I said, wait, before we sue them, I'm talking to the other attorney, do one thing for me. And I asked the other attorney to do this. Just have you guys come down to the shop one more time. And they said, okay, fine, one more time, and then we're going to go to court on this. I said, that's fine. So I told my client, go down there. They're going to have the regional guy and the Northeast guy down there. Go down there. Take a roll of paper towels. Videotape this. Oh, make sure it's a bright sunny day and it hasn't rained the day before. Open up the back, let them touch it, let them see that it's dry. Put the paper towels in, close it, run a hose over the top of it, open it up, see what happens. Sure enough, they did that. They opened up the back. It's soaking wet. It's on video. It was a quarter of an inch screw that was missing in the assembly pocket on the
roof.
Oh,
wow.
And that was it. They got 6 months free for the car. They got a new car, and they saved tens of thousands of dollars in litigation.
That's
because
great.
We just did a practical solution.
That's fantastic. Well, you're listening
Merrin,
to the
516-986-9080, or you can see my website, www.mehranlawny.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here today, Robert. And if you want to reach out to me, I'm at 631-647-4694. You can hear me every Friday at 3 o'clock. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.